Hello and welcome to the second GM Talk Game Maker podcast. On the show today, we're going to look at the amount of quality game maker media being produced, can team projects be successful, and we take a look at the entries in the recent Game Jolt Weekend Jam. Joining the discussion today are a collection of game maker users. We have Andrew McCluskey, Jack Broccoli, Noel Berry, and myself, Philip Gamble. A trend that people often claim to have noticed is a decline in the amount of quality game maker media being produced. If we go back a couple of years, we had Markup and Game Maker Tech magazines, who for about a year were both producing monthly issues which were high quality, but now both of these magazines are effectively dead. There have been various attempts to revive Markup. The official claim is that it's on a hiatus, but we haven't seen, I don't think we've seen one for over a year from Markup, and the Game Maker Tech website recently went down as well. We've seen other magazines attempting to fill the gap. We've had GM Indie, who have produced quite a few issues. And since our last episode of this show, there's been two more launches. There's been Independent Developer Magazine, which plans to produce a measly two issues a year. I'm thinking perhaps they hope in 6 months' time will have forgotten about the magazine, so won't ask where the second issue's got to. And there's also Overbyte Magazine, which I quite enjoyed reading. What did you guys think of them?
Well, independent developer was obviously not long enough.
No, 13 pages, half a year, doesn't really add up, does it?
So what's that, 2 pages a month?
Yeah.
Definitely need some more content for the amount of time they were putting in. Like, if they have 6 months to work on it, then we could definitely have more content.
I kind of miss GM Weekly, really.
GM Weekly, a lot of people thought it would go after 2 or 3 weeks, but I was quite surprised it stuck around for a very long time.
Yeah, it was good as well.
Darren must have worked his ass off to do that.
Unfortunately, it sort of just died. It was after Christmas 2008, I think it died.
Yeah, I think they said they were going to take a break at Christmas, and then it just never came back after that.
They had 2 episodes of that Quick Look magazine, which was meant to be monthly. Then they've turned it to a blog, which is now also dead.
Yes, there's a recurring theme here of launching up products, running along for 10 minutes, getting bored, and then leaving and
exactly
falling down around them.
Hopefully Overbyte won't replicate them.
Yeah, and you know quite a lot about that, don't you, Jack?
Yeah, I've already written a couple of reviews for the next issue.
I quite like the tone it took, although I can imagine many people getting bored of that after one issue and thinking it childish, but it's very different from all of the other game maker magazines who've liked to take themselves very seriously when clearly their quality is not there, whereas I thought this has enough quality and has still shot the piss out of itself.
How often is Overbyte magazine going to be, like, released?
Well, they're aiming for monthly, but I'm sort of, well, got to be sceptical, really, given all the other magazines in the past.
Can they come up with enough jokes to make it monthly? I don't know.
Well, I've actually made a comic and an article for the next issue of Overbyte.
Well, it's quite easy to write laid-back reviews because you don't have to be that precise in what you say.
Well, and the thing with reviews is that there's plenty of games that have been released in the past if you can't find any recent ones. It's only really news that sort of gets pointless as it gets older.
Jack, were you responsible for the design of the magazine?
Yeah, I originally designed it, and then I quit because I got bored, and then the designer sort of took my design and used it. I've designed it again for the next issue, but made it a lot better, I think.
Have you seen how the next issue is coming along or not?
Yeah, I'm going to be publishing the PDF.
Does it have my face at the very end with a moustache on it?
No, it has a wet face at the end.
That's acceptable.
Does it have a different person each week? Each issue?
Yeah, we might have that. That's a running theme.
You can make it a puzzle or something, couldn't you? Disguise a game maker and sort of see if people can get to it.
That's a good idea.
I saw someone asking on the Yo-Yo Games forum who it was at the end of the magazine and thought it was quite amusing.
I thought it was annoying.
I thought it was very good. I especially like the logo as well, but I did like the comment someone said where the top should be slightly larger so it has an overbite.
Yeah, for it to actually be an overbite.
Well, I thought that wasn't meant to be literally taken.
That was just, I made the logo, just so you know.
I thought that was just some random name that you came up.
Are you all secretly involved in this magazine? You know?
Yes!
Me and Al, yeah.
I think maybe one of the reasons that GM Tech stopped was because their markup had gone and they were no longer in competition with them, because before they were fighting to make the best issue and had their release dates very similar and they were trying to get better content than the other magazines, and then once markup went, I believe GM Tech just kind of lost interest when there wasn't anyone to compete against.
It's kind of a shame, really, because they're good to read. They're just crap to make.
Yeah, you're relying on a lot of people to give their time, quite a lot of time, to put them together, and if they're not having fun, they're just going to leave, aren't they? Because
yeah.
There's not really any...
Well, if you're doing it for free, then there's no incentive.
Some of the magazines have tried to offer things to get contributions. Markup offered domain names and things in the past, and quite a lot of magazines offer advertising, but I think if you offer those kinds of things, you aren't going to get the right kind of people applying to write for them. You're just going to get people who are interested in any old freebie rather than people with the interest and the skills needed to write the content.
Yeah. It'll turn from a hobby into a job.
We have seen less of the lower quality magazines released in recent months, I think, than compared to before. I'm not sure if that's because people see the good magazines and then think, oh, I'm going to make my own magazine, that'll be better, and they release an issue and then it fails. Whereas now there's nothing for them to really look up to, so they're not releasing as many.
Well, it's just been completely done. People seem to be starting audio or video kind of projects now instead.
Yeah, I was going to say there was Game Maker TV and GM Cast and GM Vision all have come and gone. I think GM Vision is still officially alive, but I don't think it's released anything for a very long time.
It's unofficial. Imagine,
like much of the Game Maker media. And breaking news as well, if you haven't read this elsewhere, the Hardcore Gamer announced that he's closed his Tailwear magazine as well.
Oh, thank God for that.
I was hoping that Nazim would be joining us because he planned to launch a magazine which never arrived, like so many of us.
We all just say that and then have claims to get on a GM podcast of some sort.
Oh yes, because you've really made it if you appear on this show.
Yeah.
The main reason I was inviting him was to talk later about in our section on team projects in Game Maker, because he is in charge of the Game Maker community game. But then I remembered that he also planned to launch a magazine as well.
That still exists.
What, the Game Maker community game?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think there's a demo. Yeah, there's a demo coming out for it, supposedly.
Oh God. It'd be funny if it was just crap.
Had it made, like, any progress, or is it sort of, like, I haven't checked into it recently, but...
I was hoping Nazim would come on the show today and tell us how they were coming along. I mean, they have a wiki, I've seen, and
yeah.
It's got information about the storyline and stuff, but I haven't actually seen any game, any sprites or any code or anything like that. I mean, I don't know if it is out there somewhere, I just don't know where to find it, or if there isn't any.
To be honest, I think there's a big warning siren going off on the fact it's called Eve. I mean, that's sort of... Oh no, it's a really bland name.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just... I think I read somewhere that's just a temporary name and based on the storyline written by someone, and they haven't chosen a real name yet.
So when it's finally released, it'll be called Eve 2.
Yeah, oh yes, I'm reading here. Eve, created by SilentXX Bunny, is the master storyline for the Game Maker community game. Until established, it is a placeholder name for the GMCG game. That does not make sense.
Doesn't GMCG game count as a placeholder name, though?
Which,
It's a bit long-winded.
A bit.
Yeah, they had some kind of story written up for the opening scene of the demo, I think.
But have they actually got any code yet?
Well, I presume so if they're going to release a demo soon.
I noticed the team of contributors, it's listed somewhere on the wiki, is about 20 people, and about 10 of them are managers or bosses or something. It's ridiculous.
What I've just seen is this: the final fight contains a major spoiler, and the first six words, when you go to fight Ryu. So, I've just got the feeling that this game is Street Fighter.
I don't know what type of game it is, even. It's...
It looks like a beat-em-up RPG Japanese cliche fest. Oh, it's a lovey-dovey one as well. There's a girlfriend Kate in it. Or your boyfriend Ada, if you're playing as a girl.
We seem to have gone on to be talking about the game maker community game. Since we're on that topic, we can, I guess, talk a bit more about team projects in Game Maker. I was hoping we'd have some people on to talk about it, and Noel, perhaps, is going to share some experiences.
Yeah, he did work with his brother on the Chimpanzee, I remember.
I've done a team project with my brother about a year ago, and that was the second team project I did with my own brother, and that worked really well because, like, you're in the same house and you can just kind of collaborate really easily and get things done. So knowing the person in person, it's really easy. It's a lot easier to work with than when you're working with someone over MSN or like forums and stuff, because you know the person, you can talk to them whenever you want, and it's not like you have to wait for them to come on MSN and talk for a bit and work with their own schedule.
I suppose it's a lot easier when you're seeing the person every day and you can just sit down and discuss how you're going to fit everything together.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're doing the internet, there can be a communication can break down or you misunderstand something and you go off and do different things.
Exactly. And you can show the person in person like how the game's going to work, and you can like draw things out and just show it to them rather than scanning and sending and whatever. So it just works a lot more easily.
How did you divide the work up between you?
We said I was a programmer and he would do the graphics, and from there we basically said, and we'll just both work on levels and we'll both work on design and stuff, and we'll just write a small design document and sort of just plan out what we'll do together and what we won't. But for the most part, I did programming and he did graphics. Like occasionally I'd do a little thing in graphics and he'd touch a piece of code or something, but generally, we split it that way, and then we just collaborated both on level design and stuff like that.
I think collaborating in that way, separate the tasks, so someone does graphics and someone does code, I think that must be easier to work together with than if multiple people are doing different bits of the coding, and then you've got to make sure it all fits together. And
yeah, I've discovered that works a lot better.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the project I worked with, there was only two people, right, me and my brother, so there's not, it's not like, when you get a larger project with maybe 10 people, it's probably a lot harder to maintain, and I haven't had any experience with that.
Not a lot of people have that opportunity, do they?
Jack and Andrew worked together on a game as well, didn't you, on Get Some Coke?
Well, not really.
Not really?
He did most of it, I just sort of made it look like you were on drugs when you were playing it.
Oh, you're quite good at that.
It was
that's my sort of forte.
It was a total failure of a game, anyway.
We also started that Monobrow Cat game, but we got really bored of that. So, sort of.
We just sailed over, did that.
But do you think if you're working in a team, there's more motivation to get the project done? Because you don't want to let people down, and you want to be seen to...
No, there's just more guilt when you do let them down.
The first project me and my brother worked on, we worked on it for about 2 months, and then basically he said, I'm bored, I don't want to work on it anymore. And my brother's like, what? I still want to work on this. It's not done, and I want to finish it. And then that's kind of when it can, I don't know, it just gets kind of messy then, because, like, especially when you're the person in person, because then it gets more complicated. But yeah. So I think it's just more of a letdown when someone stops it, and the other person still wants to work on it.
Andrew, are you let down that our company bothers with my boo?
Oh, because nor could I. I mean, we put a talking tomato in it that sort of laughed about the death of your parents. I think that's pretty much the kind of...
Well, I've seen your latest game, Andrew. It's a...
yeah, but that's no talking tomato. That's just her going prostitute. Same thing.
Because, yeah, tomato was way too far, obviously, you know, just talking tomatoes. No. Just...
Sorry, that was me who did the talking tomato.
I'm not sure if you see in the show notes the link to gmonline.rocketenterprises, which is something that James Rhodes was working on a while back. It's kind of it's an online game maker IDE, kind of like Google Docs, but for game maker. He abandoned it a while back, but I thought it was quite a good idea, even though he did not get very far with it at all. And I spoke to him this morning, and he said that if someone wants to take on the project, he'll give them the source code. The idea behind it was you design the game online, and then through a browser plugin, you would then have to have a version of GameMaker installed on your computer, which would compile a game and then run it.
So you can still check how the game plays while you're making it?
Yes, but it would just be the design interface on the website. You would have to have normal GameMaker installed. And
how's GameMaker 8, though? That should be a lot easier because you could just import the different files.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons it was abandoned when they had announced the resource exporter for GameMaker 8.
So you're saying you can't sort of import or export single sprites or whatever? You just have to do entire bulks of everything.
Like when I was building a game with Andy Wiltshire recently, and I was finding that like to do some graphics, and then I'd modify a few of the other graphics, and then when I wanted to import his graphics, I couldn't just choose just import those fives. Yeah. Those five, I had to take all of them and then replace mine, so it was slightly annoying.
I think it'd be really good if, like, in 8.1 or 9 or whatever, they actually did incorporate that, because it'd be good for things like kind of allowing the people to make levels for the game, and then not having to come up with some complex importing system. You could just sort of choose the room and then plunk it straight in.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned GameCog yet.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to tell us a bit about GameCog and how that can help you developing your projects?
So the original, I started a website called GameCog, and the original idea behind that, I started over a year ago, and the original idea was to allow people to collaborate on single projects better, and basically make a bit of a design document on your project, and so then people can read what your design document, and you don't have to have like a download version, like say, this is the version, and you have to download this, and rate it 5 out of 5, or whatever. That wasn't generally the idea. The idea was that you could make sort of a small design document with maybe some screenshots or maybe not, depending on how far the game is developing, and work on it with other people. But it's still very much in progress, though, the site, because it's, when I first started it, I was pretty bad at programming websites in general. I didn't know how that well. And as the site developed, I kind of realized that I had to restart it. And that's happened about 4 times now. I think I'm on my 4th revision as my coding gets better.
Yeah, I have noticed the last few times I've visited GameCog, which has to be said isn't all that regularly. The site has been different each time.
Yeah, I'm trying to improve it, and I'm working on a very big update next that should be hopefully coming out in 2 or 3 weeks. And the goal of that one is definitely going to be simplifying it, because I've brought, like with version 3, I've broadened it out way too much, and I'm hoping to simplify it and make it just easy to write your design document on it and get other people collaborating, and that's the goal for my next version.
I've noticed that people seem to just post finished games.
Yeah, that was definitely an issue, and I'm not sure how to fix it at this point, but I'm hoping that the next version it'll be easier to kind of get work-in-progress games going in there, for people will post more work-in-progress games. And another thing, oftentimes it seems like people will make little games that only take a few hours to make, so they generally don't need any website to, like, discuss and progress on it. They just, you know, make their little game and then post it because it's done, if you know what I mean.
Overboy is creating a game with Spanov.
Yeah, so that's the Cowboy Killer one, right?
Sleeping God.
Where can we find details about that game?
If you go on braingaleteam.com, it's probably the best thing to do.
Yeah, well, there's
got a fair amount of information on there. They're both members of Braingale.
Yeah, there's a demo that's already been released on your games as well.
They've mentioned on this that the game features a soundtrack by the incredible Lil Viper. And I looked on that MySpace page, and it looks like that's a rap artist.
So, a rap artist?
Yeah.
What?
How are you doing? No idea where they're going with that.
I haven't very many games with rap music.
Yeah, I can't imagine a game with rap music in it.
It would be original.
Don't kill people. Ninjas do. That's odd, though. Why would you put rap music to a game like that?
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I could see it being used in something experimental, but the game is—it looks retro.
And it's for a competition. I don't know if it'll work very well.
It's odd.
Yeah.
I can't see Sandy enjoying that.
No, I just got a weird impression that he'd be sort of bopping in his seat.
Yeah.
Just kind of playing and just sort of eventually rap along to it when he's got the words down.
So, does Instant Play still not work for Game Maker 8?
Not for Game Maker 8, no.
Does it not work for Game Maker 7 anymore, either?
No, it works for Game Maker 7.
Every game I've seen on EA Games has just been a download.
Are you using Chrome?
Yeah. No. Is that why? Yeah.
They haven't released a Chrome plugin yet.
Firefox and IE have video games download plugin thing.
I'm starting to get annoyed by this instant play lack of as well now.
It's kind of a cliche now, isn't it? Especially considering there are some games which only allow for an instant play. They don't have a download option.
Yeah.
I don't know why they'd do that. I initially thought it was a decompiler issue, but then they released a decompiler update which allowed you to decompile the instant play.
Maybe some people haven't seen the latest version of the decompiler and still believe their games are safe. I find it quite strange that they still haven't released a plugin for Game Maker 8. I wouldn't have thought it would be... Well, I can't see why it would be particularly hard to modify it, they've already got the code working for Game Maker 6 and Game Maker 7.
When did it release? Was that 3 months ago? Almost?
It was December 22nd,
pretty,
I think.
It was pretty ridiculous.
Considering the whole purpose of their company at the moment, anyway, is to get people to go to the website and play the games, they're just basically not letting people do that, and I don't see why that wouldn't be their number one priority to fix at the moment.
They haven't even talked about it very much at all. They have a blog post here with from January 22nd about Instant Play working with Firefox 3.6.
They had a lot of problems with Firefox, didn't they? Because they kept sort of updating the Instant Play, and then the Firefox would get updated, and it just sort of break it again. Because they had a sort of set version number on the compatibility of it. Like, they'd make it compatible for 3.0, and then 3.0.1 would come out, and it would just... No, you can't have it.
Yeah, and then they'd take 2 or 3 days to fix it as well.
Yeah, by then there'd probably be another update, and they'd just screw it up.
I did wonder about talking about that new Game Maker book that was released, but then I thought, what would people say about it?
Well, I can go in and sort of... A good description about it. It's crap.
It looks like it. The cover looks horrible.
Yeah, I know they say you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but in this case, I really think you should.
I kind of inspired me to start writing my own book, though.
It was pretty bad, I must say. The person who wrote it was obviously... I was trying to look in my sent emails. I'm not sure if you saw... I'm trying to avoid the shameless self-promotion here, but we had a recent article on Game Maker blog. It was called something like, Who is Making Money from Game Maker? And pretty much the conclusion was that most of the money is in writing books about Game Maker. And he talked about the success of the Jacob Hapgood, Mark Overmars book. And in response to that topic, someone from Pact Publishing, who David, I can't think of his surname at the moment, posted on there to say it was an interesting article. And his job is to get people to write books about different topics for his publishing company, and I sent him an email the other day after I read through the book that was released yesterday, and I'll just read you this extract from it, because I think this kind of sums up what the problem is. This is what I wrote. From what I see, many people authoring such books about smaller platforms such as GameMaker are not enthusiasts who have been using the software, but are instead opportunists who see a chance to market a book to a ready audience. This easily shows in their writing as they neglect to mention things that a regular user would surely mention, or remain ambiguous on points which any half-decent active community member would be able to deliver a targeted response, as well as the fact that you can easily find their back catalogues. That's just part of the email I wrote, but then shortly after I sent that, I saw that James Garner from DS Game Maker had exactly proved my point by posting that Hobby Press had been in touch with him to say they were writing a book about DS Game Maker. Now we're going to take a look at some of the entries in the recent Game Jolt Weekend Game Jam.
You've participated in it.
Well, yeah. But sort of, I participate in all of Game Jolt's competitions and jams and stuff.
Yeah, I spent most of the time watching streams.
Yeah, I streamed for a while on live stream just to sort of, because everyone else was doing it, basically. It slowed down my computer a lot, so I tried not to do it too much.
I did watch a couple of the live streams, but to be honest, I found them pretty tedious. What I preferred to see was, I know you did this, Andrew, you released different versions of the game as you were developing it, and I found that quite interesting to see.
Yeah, I Dropboxed quite a few sort of builds and screenshots and that.
I found the screenshots and the playable versions more interesting to see the development progress than watching the development in progress.
Well, the thing I noticed was that most of the streams are running at 640 by 480, and since most resolutions are a lot higher than that people use, to be honest, like for stuff like coding, I don't see how it could be legible at that
resolution. No, yeah, I just get blur.
I couldn't tell what the hell you were coding.
Could you see like a blur that sort of, after every few minutes, got a bit bigger?
Yeah, I just saw you writing stuff, didn't know what you were writing.
I think most people went on there for the chat rather than to watch the video there.
It'd be alright for the spriting, I think, but that's about it.
Yeah, I know, I've watched quite a few people sprite things and that was quite more interesting than watching.
I remember sort of streaming spriting of my prostitute. Well, not my prostitute, but
so, do you want to tell us something about your prostitute, then?
Let's hear about this game.
Well, she's called H, and, I don't know how I got the idea for it. I was just thinking of a pogo game, and I was trying to work out a way to kind of make it make sense. So I chose a prostitute who uses the pogo stick in her acts and as a mode of transport to getting to the clients. And that's where the sort of level comes into play. I also, having played Saints Row 2 quite a lot, I quite like the way that when you did sexual acts in that, it generated up names for them. So I included that in the game as well. I also added a day-night system, so depending on when you play it during the day, it'll look different. And sort of did stuff like that to it until it was there.
You haven't said what the game's called yet.
Oh, right. Haven't I? Oh. It's called Soho Pogo Ho. Soho being the sort of place in London that's famous for red light districts and stuff like that. Pogo being what she's on and Ho being what she is.
Does someone want to talk about the other Game Maker entries that were made into the Game Jolt Jam?
Yeah, I did take a look at all the games.
Which were the best ones? If people are going to go and check out just one or two, which ones should they go and see?
My favourite by quite a long way has to be Vat and Squid, which is by Ted Lauterbach or Rotten Tater. The same guy that made stuff like Visit 2 and those kind of games. It's sort of bullet hell with 10 separate bosses. It's really fun to play, and it's really well made considering the time. In fact, it's really well made not considering the time as well. There's also another pretty good one which disappointed me a little because I couldn't play it, but that was by Zach Banach, the same guy that did games like Little and Time Still called, I've forgotten what it's called.
Paper Dreams.
That's the one.
Why couldn't you play it?
I don't know, there was a problem that I had that a lot of people had with it. They couldn't get past the difficulty screen on it. It just sort of, you couldn't push anything. I've no idea why it didn't work, though.
How long did people have to make their games? Was it just the weekend?
It was 48 hours. And they had to make it within the 48 hours. It was sort of like a set time on Friday to a set time on Sunday. For UK handle, it was midnight, so it worked out very well. And a lot of people entered late, although they were allowed, because it being a jam, it was just friendly as opposed to competition. Like sort of Andrew Brophy's game, he released it about a day after the competition deadline, because he forgot to upload it in time.
And were there rules, or was it pretty much a free-for-all as long as you do it within the 48 hours?
Yeah, that was the only rule.
The theme was just kind of enjoy yourself, have fun, make a game in 48 hours and don't be a bitch about it. Luckily, there were quite a few. There weren't very many sort of complaints about it. I mean, normally when I see competitions like that, I see whinging a lot. Sort of, oh, I can't make a game in 48 hours.
Well, don't enter then.
I know, you just want to hit them around the face and say, get out of my room. Go and enter a competition that has 3 months and then complain because you didn't win.
it's quite incredible the quality that will go into some of these games created in a short period of time compared to games that people enter in a 3-month contest, which are pretty bad.
Well, that's what I like about competitions with a short time limit. It's because you have to force yourself to get the quality in as quickly as possible, but make sure at the same time that it is there, as opposed to just being cheap and stupid. But I do find it weird that there are a lot more games...
Who was that?
No bus, no music.
Sorry, no, I was trying out one of the games of the game called Jam, and it's circling out really loud. I hadn't played it, and I wanted to try it, but then it started going really loud. Sorry.
Which game was that?
Sounded like Andrew Rovers' game.
No, it was the Vat and Squid one or whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah. Shows how well I remember the soundtrack. I find it kind of weird that there's less entries in a competition with a 48-hour sort of time limit than there's more entries in a competition with a longer time limit made in 48 hours. Like, sort of, on the Yo-Yo Games competition, there's 3 months to make the game, but in the first couple of days, there's already about 50 entries.
It's strange. It's one of the mysteries of the world. At the Yo-Yo Games contest, they think, oh my god, I'm going to win millions.
Yeah.
And B, they think, if I submit my game now, everyone's going to play it and it will get really popular.
That's one of the things I dislike about Yo-Yo Games forums. They don't seem to realise that they're not very good. I mean, they also don't seem to realise there's a world outside of the forums. Like, I remember one particular member who I won't mention. He's constantly talking about who he thinks is going to win these competitions, and they're always people from the forums, and they're always below-average games.
When the people who are actually going to win are not going to be the people who waste their time looking at stupid pictures of cats and moaning about people leaving the forum. They're going to be the people who sit down and work on the game.
It's that game for the Jam called Face Generation. That was fairly good, although it's annoying that it made that it made a resolution change, which my computer kind of disagrees with. But apart from that, it's a kind of fun game. It's a sort of it's a cross between a bullet hell and just an arcade shooter, and it's sort of it's in his usual style. It's pink. It's got a really trippy background as well.
I got the top high score on it as well after about 30 attempts.
I was awful at it. But then I didn't play it very much because I was too angry about the screen resolution.
Yeah, if you played it.
I was intent on trying to sort of test it out and then get out and fix my desktop.
Oh, I don't like it when it moves all the icons around. That really annoys
me. Yeah, that's what it does on mine. Apart from that, it was a fairly good game. Comico released a game called Jam, which was fairly difficult. It was it's a game in which several turrets fire at you at once, and you've got to get out of the room through an exit, which is usually through all of the turrets. And it was incredibly difficult. It sort of it wasn't too glitchy, but it felt like it was about to break all the time. It was sprited averagely at best, and overall it was just far too hard to enjoy to me. Yellow Afterlife released Tubus, which was odd. It sort of it was fake 3D. It used a lot of length dials, I could tell, and it was a weird game in which you're moving down a tunnel, which is drawn using rainbow vectors, and it sort of things come at you from the centre, and you've got to move around the outside and shoot at them.
It reminded me of that game from a while ago, where you fly through cyberspace.
Oh, Run For It too.
No, the one where you have to stop a virus or something is.
Oh, Beat Rider 3D.
Yeah, that's it.
Also reminded me of a NetEurose game, which is weird. If you don't know, NetEurose is a sort of platform that was released for PlayStation to allow sort of bedroom programmers to make their own games with it.
No, I hadn't heard of it.
Very few people actually used it, because it was about £500 to get one of these consoles, and it was difficult. But no, quite a few sort of decent games did come out of it. There's a really rare one called Devil Dice that was absolutely amazing fun to play. Like, sort of on eBay, it costs £25 now, because it's so bloody rare.
I have some breaking game maker news, if you're interested.
What's that?
No, don't get too excited.
What's that?
You know how Markup famously went on hiatus and never to be seen again. We have two things have gone on hiatus in the past hour.
GM Live
has gone on hiatus.
I already knew that.
And the GMC cage match has gone on hiatus.
What?
Oh yeah, I've seen that, yeah. I hate the cage match so badly. Hate it so really, really badly.
Did you lose in it?
But madness, right? It got through three rounds winning. One of them, it absolutely trounced the opponent. It was like over five times the amount of votes it got. But in the fourth round, it came up against Kablooey by Mr. Shubigans. And it was just like, oh.
Well, you should have voted for your own game.
Yeah, I know. I made the mistake of voting for Kablooey, which ended up costing me because I lost by one vote.
God.
If I had got one vote more, I would have been in the Hall of Fame.
But now you can never be in unless you start it again.
What do you mean I can never be in the Hall of Fame?
Because the cage match will change.
It's temporary. It's only temporary closure.
Yeah.
It'll probably undergo some sort of format change to make it slightly more interesting to the public.
Yeah, obviously hiatus means that.
Hiatus basically means it's probably dead, but it might not be.
I think that's a good description of the film.
Well, in the Game Maker world, at least.
Yes.
It's basically a way of raising hopes of people that liked it. Kind of like how Blur went on hiatus for a while. Came back, did one reunion tour, and then split up again. And I wanted another song, too. So depressing.
I'd like to say thank you to Andrew, Jack, and Noel for being with me today in this recording of GM Talk. Tune in for the next episode when it's released. Thank you for listening.
For more information on the Game Maker universe, you could follow Game Maker Blog's Twitter account at Game Maker Blog.
Well, there was an amusing thing which Game Maker Blog tweets, which is where someone in the Yo-Yo Games forum posted, thinking it was about yo-yos. They posted some photos they had taken of the National Yo-Yo League Pacific Northwest Championships at the Seattle Center.
Oh, God, really?